Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Corner Office Podcast, my conversations with people leading the companies that shape our everyday lives. If you have ever seen a Hollywood movie, you're going to be familiar, probably, with the organization that my next guest runs. It's the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America. Started as a trade group for the Hollywood studios, now they do a whole lot more. Charlie Rivkin's been the chairman and CEO of the MPAA since late last year. A conversation then today on the Corner Office Podcast about movies and entertainment, also entertainment and politics. Here you go.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Charlie Rivkin, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I have to say,
yes.
I'm a big fan of the show.
Well, I'm glad we got you.
This is my first time here, and to be here as head of the MPAA, it makes me very happy.
Well, thanks for coming on.
You bet.
A lot of people will know you mostly or even only by the logo that flashes before all the movies and all the trailers, the ratings and all of this. What else does the MPAA do?
It's true. Our brand identity does come from the fact that
Brand identity. You are a CEO, aren't you?
Well, it's the truth. I mean, the MPAA is seen on the trailers, like you said, and it's known for its rating services. But that is only one part of what we do. We are probably the premier anti-piracy force in the world. We open up markets for our studio members. We work with states and governments around the world to provide incentives for production. We encourage production and we fight piracy as our primary goal.
Let me ask you, actually, since you mentioned it right off the bat, anti-piracy. Obviously, a lot of that in the news of late with President Trump and China and the intellectual property and forced technology transfer tariffs that he's putting into place. How does your business, your industry, feel now about the theft of its intellectual property?
Well, you mentioned a couple different topics, and if you want to talk about anti-piracy and theft of intellectual property, we are making some great strides because we created an organization called ACE, which is the Alliance for Creativity and Entertainment. And it has not only my six MPAA members, the six largest studios, but it also includes Netflix and Amazon and 22 other companies from around the world. And we've become literally the premier anti-piracy organization. China is a different topic. In China, what we're working on with, well, we're what USTR, the U.S. Trade Representative, is working on is continued access to their market for our entertainment product.
Are you suffering from market access both in China and around the world? I mean, it seems you can get American movies pretty much anywhere, man.
American movies are very popular in China, very popular. And China is soon to be, if it isn't already, the single largest film market in the world.
Yeah.
It went from about $800 million in 2011 to about $8 billion today. So it's a market that's very important to my members, and we want to make sure that our product is present.
You guys are out actually with a new report not too many months ago about viewing and dollar amounts and how basically you did it at the global box office. And I guess that's the key part of that question, right? It's a global box office.
It's a global box office. We make, I'd say, 73% of our revenue comes from overseas.
Wow. Wow. That's kind of amazing, actually.
Well, it's great because there's enormous growth outside of the United States. You know, in fact, our theme report, as we call it, showed $88.4 billion in theatrical and home entertainment as the market. And that was up 7%. The global box office, $40.6 billion, up 5%. There's good news stories here.
But also down a hair domestically, right? A couple of percent.
Well, it's interesting. That's what, you know, has been reported, and it's true. It went down to $11.1 billion. And at $11.1 billion, we're still the largest film market in the world. And in fact, it's the second highest level that's happened in the last decade domestically. But, you know, that was last year. And right now, if you've seen the market, Black Panther and Avengers, Infinity War and A Quiet Place, Deadpool 2, Ready Player One, we're off to a heck of a start in 2018.
Saw all of those except Quiet Place. I don't do scary movies, but that's
a good movie.
I'm not going.
It's a real hit for Paramount Pictures.
Well, totally. I bet. Where on your list of things that keep you up at night is the proliferation of second, third, and fourth screens and people watching – at home instead of getting out and having that communal experience, which your members, I'm sure, are looking for?
Look, we are content creators. So the more ways that people can view our product, the better. In fact, my member studios sell to Netflix and Hulu and all the OTT, as they're called, over-the-top services. This is good news. And by the way, according to our statistics from our theme report, if you have as many as 5 electronic devices, you're actually more likely to go to the movies.
Just to get away from them?
Well, it could be, but I think it shows the technology is not, it's not a zero-sum game. People that like technology like going to the theater.
A word about you here for a second. Had a career in business. Then you went into politics of a sort. You were the American ambassador to France. You spent some time at the State Department running the Bureau of Economic Affairs. When you came out of that job in the beginning of 2017, could have gone anywhere. Why here?
Because it's the perfect amalgamation of everything I've done with my career. I was very, very lucky to be chosen to run the Motion Picture Association. When you think about it, I spent most of my life running entertainment companies. I was the CEO of the Muppets for mm-hmm. many years. And I worked for a pig and a frog, Kermit and Piggy. And I went from working for Miss Piggy to working for the President of the United States. So I have a bit of an eclectic career. But while ambassador to France, and living abroad, not only do you make connections, but you get a sense for how powerful our industry is abroad. And at the State Department, my brief included anti-piracy. It mm-hmm. included trade and investment. It included all the areas that matter to our industry. So leaving the State Department after 8 years, it's hard to, having worked as a CEO of an entertainment company whose life's blood was copyright and IP protection, to being on the other side where we're responsible for protecting it. There's really no other job in the world that combines business and politics and government and entertainment than being chairman of the Motion Picture Association.
Let me ask you what may come off as a slightly touchy question, but you roll the dice when you walk into the studio. We are at a moment now where because of the political situation in this country, the perception of this country and perhaps its cultural properties is changing overseas. How much of a concern is that for you and for your members?
Well, it's in many ways the golden age of content. When you say it's changing overseas, I don't know exactly what you're referring to. But
well, let me state it boldly, right? Please. President Trump is not making a whole lot of friends in many ways across the country, right? With his trade policies, with some of his pronouncements on the way America is going to run itself internationally. And yet you have a product, your members have products that depend, as you said, on the global market. Are you worried about that?
So starting with President Trump, I should say that my industry and me in particular, we were one of the first out in support of the tax deal that he put forward because our studios were paying a tremendous amount of money at a high tax rate, 35% versus the 21. President Trump has shown a great interest in protecting copyright and property. And the president himself and other members of his administration had actually been in the entertainment business. And they understand that it's not just a great job-creating machine. 2.1 million Americans go to work every day in all 50 states. But it projects our soft power abroad. And I don't believe that our consumers around the world are confused by the wonderful stories that we tell and their political beliefs. You know, we're telling stories that sell around the world. And I don't think people are – certainly these numbers in the theme report would indicate with box office rising around the planet that it's being – people are not confusing politics with entertainment.
In – I don't know how long you're going to be in this job. Let's say 10 years. What
you tell that to my studios.
What does – well, one hopes they're listening. What does the American film industry and your members – what does it look like?
Well, box office continues to expand. New markets continue to grow. So overseas, we're going to continue to see dramatic growth. In fact, China, I mentioned, went from 800 million to 8 billion, but China grew 22% last year. Latin America, 21%. So we're going to continue to see box office growth. But the growth to our member companies is not just box office. It's television. It's digital video services and home entertainment. And I believe the market will continue to increase as distribution vehicles increase.
This will perhaps sound naive, but is the metric for you and your members box office? Dollars?
I'm the motion picture and television is what I cover.
Yeah.
It's called the Motion Picture Association, but it's motion picture and television and home entertainment.
Yeah.
So my studios are content creators, and they're creating content to be seen around the world on as many devices as possible, including in theaters.
Which you measure by revenue.
Yes. And so the revenue is going up.
Right. There's a question to be asked here as we head into the summer film season about the kinds of movies that are getting made. And I get that you're not the content creator, but since I have you in the room, it does seem, and it is in fact the case, that we're seeing a lot more tentpoles, a lot more big, you know, Black Panther franchise movies, perhaps at the expense of some movies that might not be getting made. When you have conversations, and you said you're having a board meeting, which is why you're in town today, when you have those conversations, do your members sort of talk about the kinds of films that are getting made and how they think about the American film going public and what they want?
You know, I don't talk about operational decisions of my six members because I represent the industry as a whole. But I hear this type of comment when I travel abroad, and I don't see it that way. Sure, there are tentpoles and giant blockbusters, but there's also some of the smaller movies that do extraordinarily well. I mean, we talked about A Quiet Place earlier, but I think there's an every day I see original stories coming out that are just wonderful, and you know, a good story well told is what this industry is all about.
You've alluded to this a little bit, that you know, Hulu and Netflix, you are working with them and you have some collaborations with them. Who is your who's your threat? Who's your challenge? Who's your competition?
Well, let me clarify. Our studios sell to everybody, including Hulu and Netflix.
Sure, but you work with them in Anti-Piracy, right?
In Anti-Piracy, right. We're partnered with Netflix and Amazon.
Gotcha.
At the core with our six studios, because it's been written in the paper that Netflix is spending $8-9 billion on programming, and Amazon, it's been written, spends around $4 billion. So any company that is spending a tremendous amount on programming cares about that product being protected, and that's why this anti-piracy venture has been so powerful. Who are our competitors? Well, our competitors are anybody that's telling stories and creating entertainment. We just think that as a country, we do it better than almost anybody else. Mm. And I can tell you, when I was Assistant Secretary of State, I visited 60 countries around the world, and the Hollywood industry was the envy of almost every nation. In fact, when you look at some of the GCC countries, the Gulf Cooperation Council countries, and they look at diversification strategy off oil, many of them want to build entertainment business. And you're seeing it already in Saudi Arabia and the UAE and Qatar and everywhere. So it just happens to be something we do very, very, very well as a nation and as an industry.
We hear a lot about peak TV, right? How there's so much content pouring into that box in our living room. Are your members worried about that idea that there's just not enough time to watch all that stuff?
There's enormous appetite, enormous demand for great content right now, which is good for my members. So they, you know, the more demand there is, the more distribution apparatus there are, the more there'll be a demand for programming. And our members make programming, in my opinion, better than anybody else.
You are, let's see, it went Jack Valenti, it went Dan Glickman, it went Chris Dodd, and now you. None of whom are, well, except maybe you, I suppose, came to the job with a history in running media companies. I just think that's an interesting sort of path.
Well, I'm lucky. I mean, it's really humbling to follow in the footsteps of men like the ones you've described. I had the chance to meet Jack Valenti a number of times in Sun Valley, Idaho, and elsewhere, and he was genuinely larger than life, and he embodied for almost 40 years this job and on his presentations on the Academy Awards. So not only do I get to stand on their shoulders, but we have a chance to build a new version of the MPAA and take it to the next level. But we're very lucky to have had predecessors like Dan, Chris, and Jack.
What does the MPAA look like in this new digital economy? I mean, what's the next level for you guys?
Well, let me explain that there seems to be a common misperception that the film and television industry is not embracing the digital economy. I want to make sure that people understand that's not true. You saw Disney's already announced two OTT services. Mm-hmm. I was with Paramount Television yesterday, and they said almost 55% of everything they're making in television is being sold to an OTT service.
Wow.
Technology is at the core of every movie that we make. In fact, movies that are being made now couldn't have been made 5 years ago because of our embrace of technology. Hmm. We're using drones to shoot scenes at sea that hadn't been able to be done before. We're, technology at the heart of what we do. So we're going to continue to embrace technology. We're going to continue to tell amazing stories and let technology help us with that process.
Charlie Rifkin is the chairman and CEO of the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America. Charlie, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. And that is it for this episode of the Corner Office Podcast. If you thought that conversation was interesting, or if you learned something, or if you just liked it, let us know, would you? By rating us or leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Maybe share the episode with a friend if you like. That always helps. The Corner Office Podcast is produced by Bridget Bodner. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the Executive Director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the Senior Vice President and General Manager. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Another episode, well, as soon as we get one. How about that?